Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile monkeys play. Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile, unpredictable Jacob.
Hi, welcome to Jacob, podcast about agile life and monkeys. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jacob. How are you today?
I am very good. How are you?
I'm very good. Do you know why?
Why?
Well, because today we have Vasco Duarte. He's an agile coach, consultant, author, conference organizer, and most pertinent to the conversation I think we'll have today, a podcaster. Welcome, Vasco.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi. And I must say that it's like a fanboy moment for me because I've been listening to Vasco's podcast for years. And these are just this awesome of usually 10 minutes, a short podcast that I can, you know, listen on my way to work or even, you know, when I'm brushing my teeth. And it's just awesome just to have this quick burst of knowledge and experience from people all over the world. So thank you, Vasco, for creating the podcast and allowing.
What's it called?
It's called the Scrum Master Toolbox Podcast, which for those of you old enough to have worked with networks and network protocols, it's also SMTP. It's so cool. I love the acronym. Anyway, so the Scrum Master Toolbox Podcast is the name. And it is just like Jacob said, it's 10 minutes, very short. It's the same topics every week. So five topics, one topic per day, the same topics every week, but it's a different person. And the amazing thing is we have so much diversity in the Agile community. You can listen to all of the 300 plus weeks and you will see very little repetition between guests. There is some repetition, of course, but many of the topics actually have very, very little repetition, which is amazing. And also the goal of the podcast. I mean, it's called Toolbox because we believe we want to give tools for Scrum Masters to enlarge their toolbox and become better in their craft. The goal is to inspire Scrum Masters to action every day.
Wow. That's amazing.
Cool. So if you've been doing it for 5 years, did you get any feedback about the community you have built and how it has impacted the people around you or around the world in the Agile community?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started in 2015. So at the time of this recording, it's actually nearly 6 years.
Wow.
Because we are at the end of 2020. Soon it will be 2021. And the idea is that the podcast itself is about building community because we interview a different person every week, right? And we bring that person's knowledge to the rest of the community. We share their struggles, we share their insights, their tips, their tools. So what I get, the feedback that I get is the guests get a lot of feedback on LinkedIn and Twitter when they come on the show during the week that their episodes are going live. And for me, that's an awesome reward for the work that I do because it really is about bringing people who you would probably not see in your local conferences share their experience and their story, because that's who we are, right? Like, we're all normal people. Only a few of us are famous or have written books or whatever. Most of us are just struggling every day, and sharing those stories is also, at least in my mind, actually quite inspiring.
I'm inspired just listening to it. So when Jacob and I first started this podcast, it was for two reasons. One is we wanted a reason to make sure that we could always keep talking to each other because we like talking to each other. And two, because we soon discovered that just having a conversation around our thoughts and people in the community ended up being valuable. And our inception moment was literally around, I think it was a beer and some chips, and that was it. Where was your inception moment for this? And who was it with?
Yeah, so I've been listening to podcasts since 2006, I want to say. And after a while, I kind of decided that would be a great way to bring content out, to help people grow. in their profession. And for me, I mean, I happen to believe that Scrum Master is the profession of the future in terms of, you know, where the world of work is going, and it's going to be so influential in the future that for me it was clear it had to be around that topic, around the role of the Scrum Master and everything that goes around that. Being an Agilist since 2004, for me it was clear that it had to be about Agile as well. But it was only around, I want to say 2014, 2013 maybe, that I started listening to a podcast that was a daily format. And I really loved the format because it was it was not about Agile, it was about entrepreneurship, but it was a daily format. It was inviting people talking about their struggles and their insights, their knowledge, what they learned. And I always got lots of ideas from that podcast. And I at that point, I realized that, okay, I have found my model. This is what I want to do in the Agile space. I want to have a daily podcast that interviews real people every day that share their struggles, their insights, their tools, their knowledge. And of course, the most important, they grow the community, because we are not alone. That's also part of the message here, is that we are not alone. There's a lot of us out there, you know, probably around 5 million right now certified Scrum Masters worldwide, if not more. So this is becoming quite a large community. And I thought that, okay, so if this is my community and that's the format, how do I make it a reality? And, you know, that started the process of figuring out what questions I would ask, how I would set up the format, and eventually came to the realization that this was exactly the right format for me. So I would say that when I started listening to that podcast, which was called Entrepreneur on Fire, which has since changed the format, I think that was the moment when I said, okay, this is what I need to do. And then after that, it was just figuring out the details. And in 2015, I started with my first 10 guests. And then after that, the rest is history.
That's amazing. 5 million certified Scrum Masters. That's basically the population of New Zealand.
There's probably more by now. Yeah. Last time I checked was a few years back, and it was already 3+ million. So,
oh my
goodness. Probably more than 5 by now.
Wow. I think we cannot escape the question of using agility in your podcasting journey. Do you have any stories or any examples how you use agility in how you do podcasting?
So I think that the way the podcast evolved was definitely agile. We were kind of adapting to the feedback we were getting and trying to improve. I mean, the interview questions have changed over the years. But for me, because this is repeating, right? We're repeating the same format with different people every week. There's editors involved. There's writing of show notes. There's, of course, you know, promotion and so on. So there's a lot of repeated activities. For me, the inspiration was more lean. How can I get... Right. The podcast produced and published at a minimum of time, right? So there's a minimum of time you need, which is the time the podcast actually lasts. That's a little over an hour if we count the breaks and everything. So that was the minimum I had to spend myself in time doing that. And then there's editors and publishing and podcast hosting. So, you know, when you download the files, they come from a server. Somebody needs to pay for that. So there's also the minimum of amount of money we invest every month into it. So it was about tweaking and improving over time. And, you know, right now I would say it's a pretty well-oiled machine that can be improved over time, obviously, but works really well right now. So I think that for me, the inspiration was more lean. And that's also an interesting coincidence, since I found lean before I found agile. Agile for me was kind of a... I started with Scrum in around 2004, but I had been studying Lean since maybe 2003, 2002. So I had a large background on Lean and theory of constraints and process optimization. So for me, it was a kind of a natural approach to devise a process and then improve it over and over and over again until it worked flawlessly. There were quite a few iterations. There were things that were done by other people, things that were done by me, then that was switched around and so on. So I would say that Lean was more of an inspiration when it comes to the production and publishing of the podcast.
That's really interesting.
And so how are you getting, or if you're still getting feedback, how are you, how did you get feedback from people? Because that's one thing we are trying to get feedback from our podcast. And sometimes it's mainly from people we meet or from people that we know, which is great to hear this feedback, but it's hard for us to get feedback from other people that we don't know. And we know that they listen to the podcast. Do you have a tip for us that we could use?
Yeah, so of course the very basic answer to you guys is, why don't you invite your audience on the podcast to give you feedback and talk about agile life and monkeys?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So of course I ask for feedback from the guests all the time, right? So the guests are the first feedback point. And then some people do reach out and give feedback. Originally, there were suggestions about questions to ask when we were just getting started. These days, not so much around that. But what's important for me is that the guests get a lot of feedback. And that's very valuable for me, because that's one of the reasons to, you know, showcase their experiences, is so that they would also be an active part of the community and get feedback from the rest of the community.
You were saying one of the goals of the podcast in the beginning was to empower Scrum Masters and give them more tools for their toolkit that would help them feel more confident and more supported, I guess, in what they do. What feedback have you gotten so far? Do you have any stories that you can share with us that you've gotten from your audience? Because you've been doing this for a while. What's your favorite story of how your podcast has helped someone out in their Scrum Master journey?
I mean, for me, the most rewarding stories, and we do get a few of those, is people who come on the podcast to be guests. And they start by saying that when I started as a Scrum Master, I started listening to the podcast and I learned
from
the podcast.
And wow.
Later on, they come and they become guests in the podcast and share their knowledge and their experience. So for me, that's the most rewarding.
I think the closest thing we would have is, like, when I started listening to your podcast, I was a monkey. And then I've evolved into an agile coach. Oh, that's amazing. Did that, so the first time did that happen, did it like shock you? Did it surprise you? Like, how did you feel the first time someone said, when I first started out, I started listening to your podcast and that's what got me on my path?
It's a feeling of reassurance that we are on the right track with the podcast. It's also a confirmation of something that I've, you know, thought about for a while when I started defining the podcast and then started working on it, which is that the people who are getting started are actively looking for information, but the experts, the very experienced people, are much more selective and they don't necessarily listen to podcasts, or maybe they, you know, they get recommended one or two podcasts and so on. So that kind of also validated the audience focus we had, which was, of course, for Scrum Masters that were learning to be better Scrum Masters, not necessarily for people that were already experts, right? Because the stuff we cover is useful for everybody, but the experts are probably going to look for books even outside Agile for inspiration, while the people who are getting started really want to go through the questions, the basic questions, right? So what's success for us as Scrum Masters? How do I handle change? How do I get out of a failure story? And we, you know, every Monday we talk about a failure story and what we learn and what we can do differently. So for me, that was also kind of a confirmation that we were on the right track in terms of defining the audience and in terms of shaping the content for that audience.
Wow. So how do you see, or do you even see, the podcast evolving in any way? Do you think that that's the format that's already working so well that is you going to keep going?
I see the podcast evolving enormously. I mean, it is evolving slowly every day. But for me, this is just the beginning, right? The podcast is the start of something that I hope will be much bigger. So What I would like to see in the future is that there will be other hosts, that it's not just me hosting the podcast, because the hosts also have a different perspective. So here's an invitation to you guys, Jakub and Joseph, if you want to host one or even more weeks of the podcast, let's set it up. We just need to set up so that you guys learn the process, and, it's easy. It's not that difficult, but you know, we set it up that way because we do have the editor that goes through the things and he expects to get them in a certain way. And then we need the show notes and stuff like that. But that would be my goal, is to make sure that the podcast also becomes, why not, a way for other podcast hosts to come and get exposed to the community, and at the same time share their insights and knowledge with the community.
That would be amazing. Wow.
And this approach is so close to my heart, of creating a platform for other people to shine and grow, right? How we can actually create something that other people can almost take over, and we can highlight their skills and we can show that they are awesome as well. Wow, that's
I just want to see the look on your face, Jakub, when you start his podcast and hear your voice.
Oh, exactly. Imagine that. Yeah. It's going to be like double or triple or tenfold fanboy moment.
Oh, you'd just be shaking in the corner, yeah, smiling.
Exactly.
Ah! Vasco, one of the things that I really enjoy knowing about you is it seems like you have this, your focus on the biggest contribution is really just this giving back focus. And it seems like you get so much from giving back. You know, you're a coach, which is a very much a supportive role. Consultant, also a supportive role. Author, which is giving information to other people, sharing information. And you help throw conferences as well. And before we started this podcast, you had mentioned that you had created an audiobook for people. And you said something that I wasn't aware of, but it actually made sense as soon as you said it, is it was an audiobook made to be an audiobook. So can you tell us a little bit about this audiobook and what that means? Like, what's an, you know, you're like, some people just read a book. I made this one to be an audiobook. So I'm really interested in what that process was.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, a little bit of my story, a little bit of history. I'm old enough to have heard and loved to hear the radio. And I loved many of the programs.
Radio.
That,
radio.
You know, this FM, AM thingy, a big box that had a knob. You turned that knob and it would like, and then you heard the voice.
Good sound effect.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you learn. And from radio, I learned how important the voice medium can be to create an environment, as well as to create a sense of belonging, a sense of not just community, but almost family-like, right? Because when you hear the same host for a while, you know, they're your friend. Right, and that's actually something people have said to me. I've heard you for so long that I feel you're my friend, and of course I probably didn't even know they existed before we talked. So that's quite surprising. But at the same time, so that's for me the history behind this, right? And so for me, I realized that voice is a very important medium for us to convey ideas, and so are books, obviously. And this is an audiobook, so you get it as a book, but an audiobook, right? You can put it on your phone or whatever. These days, nobody has an MP3 player, but you know, back in the day, your MP3 player, and just listen to it. So we started working with Yves Hanul, is the co-host for this audiobook. It's called Tips from the Trenches, Scrum Master Edition. I guess you guys will put the link on the show notes if somebody wants to know more about that.
Yep.
He had done this amazing book, real book, which is inviting 100 agilists to give their most important tips to other Scrum Masters. You know, there's very well-known people like Lisa Crispin and Mike Cohn and Michael Sahota and so on. There's loads of people that have written a small text, whatever, like 200, 500, 1,000 words for that book. And then together with Eve, what we did is, hey, why don't we turn this into an audiobook that is designed to be an audiobook? So it's, imagine this. So these people wrote a small text and we do 15 to 20 minutes per chapter, so per person, going into their mind, jumping into their brain as to why they wrote this text. So you can read the tip in the actual book, the physical book or ebook, and then you can listen to them as to why that's important for them. So this gives a totally new dimension to the content of a book, right? And that's why I said when we, you know, in prep, I said this was an audiobook designed to be an audiobook because it is an interview with typically three people. Some episodes have only two, but or some chapters have only two people, but typically three people having a conversation around the tip that the authors wrote, right? And the authors are multiple people from the community. I just thought that was a perfect match for the podcast because it's a similar format, but it's much more in-depth with different from the podcast thought leaders, right? So while the podcast is everybody, everyone that is a Scrum Master can be a guest on the podcast and share their experience, this audiobook is thought leaders in particular areas of agility as an example. So it is a book designed to be heard and felt because you hear the voice of the authors, which is totally different from reading the English that many of them don't have as a native language, wrote, right? So I think that for me, it was just the perfect match. And going back to the radio story, the idea is to bring people close to you so that you feel part of the community, you feel part of that group of thought leaders and maybe get inspired to become a thought leader yourself.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting how you can just looking at what you're trying to achieve, how it can influence the design of things, right? Because it's, yeah, as you said, it's very easy to just follow what everyone else is doing. But actually, if you think about this, audiobooks, they are a different kind of medium that you may want to use in a bit different way. So I think creating an audiobook that's enriching an actual book, that's exciting. That's nice. Cool.
I like it a lot. And I like how the channel is the voice. It's not the podcast, yeah. And it's not those are the mediums, I guess. But the connection is the voice, and that's like I think you've just inspired me a little bit to think about things to a different level. So thank you very much, Vasco.
Yeah,
absolutely. Let's not forget that when you're listening to someone, you're also feeling their emotion, right?
True.
And that gives a completely different dimension to how the message is received.
And another topic that I think it might be interesting to cover, because last year, or no, that was still this year. Oh my God. It was still this year.
This year counts for like 2 to 3 years, actually.
Yeah, it does. This year we had a chance to be partnering with the Agile on the Beach New Zealand conference. And we were interviewing the speakers who spoke at the conference. And I know that you organize conferences. One of the latest was Agile Online Summit. Anything that you learned from organizing conferences, or anything that, you know, what are some of the reasons why you create conferences, and how does it influence how you work and what you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, Jakub, you were part of that organization.
Oh yeah, I was.
You held a couple of live sessions during the week of the conference. That's and when I got involved with the Agile Online Summit and Tom Henriksen, who's the organizer, for me, it was pretty clear that the goal was to build a track around community building. That was the whole track. It was called a social network activation track. Also networking track for short. And that's exactly what it was. So we had live sessions between 6 to 10 hours a day of live sessions, only live, not recorded in any way, just live. The only way to attend those sessions was live. And for me, it was the attempt to create the corridor feeling that you get from conferences. But of course, this year, 2020, the Corona year, nobody can travel to go to conferences. So this was our attempt to create this feeling of community, because for me, that's what I miss the most from not going to conferences, this feeling of being part of the community and really talking to people, you know, impromptu, just whatever topic comes to mind. And of course, important topics for the people who are talking come to mind, obviously, and give them the opportunity to be part of that community and to actively participate. For me, that was the goal. And that inspired me also to create something that hopefully happens in 2021, more on that later, but there's something for Scrum Masters we're thinking of organizing with a bunch of other people. And there, again, coming back to what you guys also talk about in the podcast, is about creating community, is about going beyond the borders of geography, obviously, but also roles, industries, and feeling that we are part of a community that is here, the Scrum Master community, to literally change the world of work. Like the one of the things that I would like to highlight and invite the listeners to think about is that Scrum Masters don't exist because of Scrum. If it weren't Scrum, it would be something else. But we exist because there's a latent need for change in the world of work. The old structures that we have grown accustomed to do not work for software development. They are not adequate, right? And if we think a little bit about Conway's Law, which basically states that the software architecture replicates, mimics, mirrors the image of the organization that produces it, and vice versa, right? The software architecture is also influencing the organization and how it's set up. Scrum Masters are outside that understanding. They are outside that dimension. We work in the dimension of collaboration, right? So in other words, if you want to take this, you know, and turn it all the way up to 11, we are there to rearrange things, right? If you think about structures, you know, Conway's yeah. Law mindset, we are there to rearrange things so that everything flows better. So for me, this is so important that I believe that we as Scrum Masters need to start growing outside the boundaries of industries and you know, departments and obviously nationalities and cultures, and start collaborating on generating that knowledge, because we need books, we need podcasts, we need movies, we need all kinds of stuff, content that will create that new culture of work that is still emerging. And one of the things I said to you guys in prep is definitely one of the topics I would definitely go to in this episode is that we are very much in the early beginnings of Agile. And for those of you old timers that are out there that have been doing this maybe since the late 90s, that's 20 plus years, it's still very much the beginning. We are not even in the first wave. Everybody talks about, you know, the late adopters were crossing the chasm. That is not even close to being true. We are very much in the fringes of society as Agilists and as Scrum Masters. We are very much in the fringes of the organizations that we work within. I mean, just think about it. There's no Scrum Master in the executive team. Those guys are the ones that need Scrum Masters the most. They can't even hold a meeting that is productive. Have you been in an executive meeting? It's like talk shop. It's things you wouldn't accept in a development team. It's incredibly inefficient, unfocused, no structure, not facilitated in any way. It's always the loudest person who wins the argument. Like, come on, guys, we're so far behind where we should be. And that's my message. I think we are still in the prehistory of Agile adoption worldwide. But, you know, that's why the community is so important, so that we help each other, we share our knowledge, and start moving the ball forward.
History. I love that. And I love that you use Conway's Law and inverted it as well, because I've read those articles as well to say that it goes both ways. And I think you're right. The Scrum Master does stand in between both of those structures influencing each other. You talking about Conway's Law in that way, kind of it mirrors the concept of like quantum entanglement, where like one influences the other, even though they're two separate things and two separate areas. and the Scrum Master is this like quantum astronaut jumping between the two, trying to make each side aware of the other. So of course we're on the fringes because no one understands that. In a world of boxes, we see the honeycomb. So it's
The network. We see the matrix.
Yes.
I don't know if that's the sound the Matrix makes, but
we'll just say this for now.
Yeah. Oh wow, that was very inspiring. Yeah, I think this gave me another kind of boost of energy to keep doing what I'm doing. Thank you, Vasco.
Yeah, me too. Thank you
That's
so much.
That's what we do every day on the podcast.
So yeah.
Check cool. it out. Scrum Master Toolbox Podcast.
Scrum Master Toolbox Podcast, SMTP. Vasco, if someone wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
So the best way is through LinkedIn and Twitter. I guess you guys will put the links on the show notes. If you just Google Vasco Duarte, even if you misspell it, Google will fix it. And he
Thank
will
you,
find
Google.
Me. My email is also out there everywhere, so you can just write an email as well. And the call to action to the listeners is, if you're a Scrum Master, you definitely have a lot to share, so why not get in touch and be on the podcast as a guest?
That's exciting.
Nice. Cool.
Well, that's us for this episode. Thank you so much, Vasco.
Thank you,
Vasco. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Awesome.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Bye.
See you guys or hear you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.